Do you know who Zipporah was? Well, even if you don't recognize her name, I bet you recognize the name of her husband. She was the wife of Moses. And while we know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, he was instrumental, he was one of the greatest leaders of the Hebrew people, we don't often know much about his wife. And so today, we're going to dive into the life of Zipporah. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we're continuing our study of the book of Exodus with the life of Zipporah. And so if you're just joining us, I'd encourage you to go back at least to yesterday's episode so you can learn a little bit more about this time of history and the life of Moses. We're picking up where we left off in Exodus chapter 2. And just a reminder, we do have a lot of extra resources for you on our Patreon page. I always have journaling prompts available because for me, journaling is a way to get the information from my head into my heart. And so on our Patreon page, which the link is in the show notes, we have ad-free episodes. Every episode has journaling prompts to go with it that you can download. And there's also some exclusive bonus content. All of that starts at $5 a month. And so we're in Exodus chapter 2, and I'm picking up at verse 11. It says, "One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, 'Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?' The man said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, 'What I did must have become known.' When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to the water of the father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to the rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, 'Why have you returned so early?' They answered, 'An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock.' 'And where is he?' Reuel asked his daughters. 'Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat.' Moses agreed to stay with a man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, 'I have become a foreigner in a foreign land.' During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them." So here the story picks up. Yesterday we talked about Moses as a young child, but now it picks up to a time when Moses is now an adult. And this is about when he was 40 years old, and he sees an Egyptian basically master beating a Hebrew slave. He gets involved, he gets in an argument with this master, and he kills him. He hides the body in the sand, and the next day, Moses then tries to break up a fight between two of the Jews, and he finds out that he is found out. And so he decides to, instead of facing the music, he decides to flee because he realizes at this point what he did was probably known among the Jewish people. And Pharaoh was going to seek to punish him for killing an Egyptian. So he leaves and he flees to the land of Midian to escape. Now, I want to kind of point out here, and this is contrary to what you may have heard or presented on different TV shows, those kinds of things, especially movies and maybe even fictional biblical accounts. Moses is never in the biblical record presented as someone who is unaware of his heritage. Sometimes you see it taught or portrayed that he discovers eventually that he was Hebrew, but that does not actually happen in the Bible. He never discovers his Jewish ancestry. Instead, he always knows, as does all the people that is involved with him. So Pharaoh, of course, Pharaoh's daughter, everybody in the castle, they all knew that he was Hebrew. And I just want to insert real quickly just a little bit of information. There's not enough for us to do a whole episode about Pharaoh's daughter, but just think through what that means and go back and listen to yesterday if you haven't already, where we talk a little bit more about Pharaoh's daughter. But she risks being disobedient to her father, Pharaoh, by saving baby Moses. And then on top of that, especially knowing that everybody around him knows that he's Hebrew, she still gives him the education of a prince. She elevates him to the status of Egyptian, even though he wasn't Egyptian. And everybody knew around her that that's what was happening. And God still used her in the life of Moses. And I think that's somewhat of an encouragement for those of us that come from families that were not Christian. If you did not grow up in a Christian family, just think through how the Lord used this Egyptian princess in the life of Moses. The Lord can still use our circumstances, our family of origin, all of those things, because he is the Redeemer of all things. I love that aspect. And so fast forward now to the time where Moses was in Midian, and Moses drives away these shepherds who were basically preventing the daughters of this Midian priest from feeding their sheep. And so their father, who we will probably refer to him as Jethro, in this version he's called Reuel. You see him called both things in the text and then sometimes even additional names. But Jethro is who we're talking about, the father of Zipporah. He invites Moses to come stay with them because he's thankful for the way that he stood up for his daughters. And eventually that leads to a marriage between Moses and their firstborn daughter, who is Zipporah. And so they have their first son. His name is Gershom, and they eventually have a second son. There's not a whole lot that we learn about Zipporah, but we do know some things about Jethro. So her father, Jethro, was a priest. Now, that does not mean what you think it means, that he was not a priest that followed Yahweh. We don't really know what God Jethro was following or worshiping. We can have an idea, but we know that he was not the God of the Hebrews. So think about this for a minute. Moses has just killed an Egyptian. He has fled to Midian, and now he is marrying somebody that is not a follower of God. We know that eventually Jethro does come to some sort of understanding or belief in the Lord, because later in Exodus chapter 18, Jethro says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." But we never see any kind of faith confession from Zipporah, so we don't really know, and many scholars doubt if she ever came to faith in Yahweh, because we feel like he would have said that. Moses is writing this, so he would have said that his wife came to faith in Yahweh, and we don't ever see that from him. Mm-hmm. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code HEARINGJESUS. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code HEARINGJESUS for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And again, we don't know very much about her, but we know that they had two sons. And then Moses basically went back from Midian to the land of Egypt, where he was eventually going to become the leader that was going to rescue his people and lead them out of Egypt. One of the interesting things that we learn in this story is actually found in a different chapter in Exodus. It's in Exodus chapter 4. So at this point, what has happened is basically there's a disagreement between how to raise the kids, because Moses, of course, is following Yahweh and Zipporah is not, and they do not circumcise their son. That is a big deal, because circumcision at that time in Hebrew history was a sign of the covenant of God. And so he is being disobedient by giving in to his wife and compromising. And so they're on their way back to Egypt. And it says in verse 24, at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. It was then that she said, a bridegroom of blood, because of the circumcision. So essentially what has happened at this point is Moses is being punished for not upholding the covenant between the Hebrew people and God, and he has not circumcised his son. And so on the way back to Egypt, he gets really, really sick, and Zipporah recognizes exactly why that has happened. And so she takes it upon herself to then go and circumcise their son. So there clearly had been some sort of conversation about this. And what most likely happened was he compromised with her, and then she realized, oh yeah, he really was right, and she didn't want him to die, so then she circumcised her son. Now, we are not sure which son that was. There's really no record of it. The Jewish tradition says that was a second son, but we don't really know. But it is because he was a Hebrew and she was a Midianite, and they clearly had different views on circumcision. Now, some scholars suggest that God was angry with Moses, because what was he headed back to Egypt to do? He was going to be the one that was chosen to lead the Israelites and teach them the law, but he wasn't following the law himself. And in Genesis, God commands circumcision. And so there's this whole theology built around why Moses got sick in the first place, but we see a very clear, stark difference between her beliefs and his beliefs, and who really kind of won out in that fight. But then after that, we really don't see much about Zipporah at all. We don't really know what part she played in Moses' life. We have really no idea. There was so much that was happening in the life of Moses where he was becoming dependent on Yahweh, and perhaps that drove her away from him. We do know that eventually they were reunited, because in Exodus 18, it talks about Jethro bringing his wife and his two sons to meet Moses. But there really is no exchange of words. There's nothing from Zipporah. There's just an exchange between Jethro and his son-in-law. Now, later in the book of Numbers, we see the brother and sister of Moses, which is Miriam and Aaron. They take issue with the Cushite wife of Moses. And so most scholars believe at that point, Zipporah had died, and now he has taken a new wife, a Cushite wife. But I was thinking about this in terms of what it would mean for Moses to have a wife that was an unbeliever. What does it mean for us to have a spouse that it's an unbeliever? I mean, for many of us, there are some people that become a believer and their spouse doesn't. But then there are other people that choose to marry somebody that they know is not God's best for them because they do not believe in God. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Though Moses was one of the greatest leaders of all time for the Hebrew people, Zipporah herself is an example of an unbelieving spouse. And there's just brief messages about her, but we see that this caused Moses a lot of problems. And so what can we learn from this whole scenario? Well, we learn that we need to obey God even when we don't like it, even when it's not convenient, even when it doesn't make sense. And what likely happened was Moses went, here was this girl that was being offered to him. We don't know what she looked like, but we know that it was convenient, and he married her, knowing full well he should not have married her. And one of the things that I say all the time on the podcast is delayed obedience is disobedience. And so we see even the fact that he married her in the first place, but then he didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do, which was circumcise his baby. Instead, he gave in to his wife. Well, that was disobedience. And so we need to do the will of God even when our spouse doesn't either understand or doesn't want to do the will of God. We have to stand up and say, no, we're going to follow God. Now, I know that there's a bunch of different theological perspectives on that the wife needs to submit to the husband. I absolutely think that above and beyond, we need to follow God first. And so if you are married to a non-believing spouse, your primary responsibility is to follow God's commands. And I know that means that there may be consequences. I absolutely know that. But delayed obedience is disobedience. And then what's interesting is even when Moses got sick, it was his wife that changed her mind and was like, okay, then I'm just going to circumcise this kid because that's why you've gotten sick. Even at that point, Moses didn't say anything. It's not like he told her, go circumcise the baby. No, instead, and actually we don't even know if he was a baby. We don't even know what age he was at that point. We just know that he was older than 8 days old. But it wasn't Moses that was telling her to go do it. Zipporah did it. And it's so interesting because that whole conversation, you know, it happened, but the Bible is silent on it. Moses doesn't say anything about his side of things. So God is dealing with Moses because he's fallen into sin and broken the covenant, but God is also dealing with Zipporah because she knew right away what she needed to do in order to make things right. And then, of course, we know Moses survived. He lived after that. And I know it's hard sometimes, but doing the will of God isn't just something that we do when it's easy. We do it when it's tough. We do it when there's consequence. We do it when it's going to cause an argument with our spouse. And I'm not telling you to go and just argue with your spouse, but what I am telling you is we need to honor God first and foremost in our marriages and our lives. I think the other thing that we learn is that we need to deal with the sin in our lives. And yes, Moses, he made a lot of mistakes. He killed the Egyptian, then he married a woman that was not following God. Even Moses sinned. I think that's really important because sometimes we forget he was the one that was writing through the divine inspiration, of course, but he was writing the first 5 books of the Bible. He messed up a lot. We mess up. There's so many things in the Bible, I think sometimes we forget that they were people. And the reason why they were heroes, because is because God was the hero in the story. It's not so much about them as it is what God did in and through them, these imperfect people. And so we see the life of Moses. Even he sinned because we're sinners as human beings. And even you and me, when we follow Jesus, we're still going to mess up. We're still going to sin. We do our best to not sin, but we sin because it's in our nature. It's literally in our blood. And that's why we need Jesus. It's a process of transformation that we become more like Jesus more and more every day. And as we say goodbye to our old selves, we become more like him. That process is called sanctification, but it's a process. It's not instant. And it's not that once we decide to follow Jesus, we're never going to mess up again. In fact, the opposite is true. That's why we need Jesus. And so we're going to naturally try to become more like Christ because as we love him, we get closer to him. It's going to help us to desire to become more like him. But that's also why we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to counsel us, to empower us as we live our lives in this fallen place that we call earth. And then when we are disobedient to what God commands of us, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes us aware of our sin. And one way or another, we're going to become aware of it, whether it's by the consequence or by not having peace or whatever God is going to end up doing in order to make us aware of it. And then when we become aware of it, it's our job to correct it, to stop it, to make amends, and to not do that thing again. And that becomes this cycle in our lives. Because we are ingrained in sinfulness, as human beings, we have this sinful nature. It's not like we just make a decision to never sin again and it never happens. The opposite is true. We're going to continue to sin, but we need to confess it and then correct it. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we recognize our sin and we repent, and that becomes the key to growing, to maturing as a believer. And we want to be mature Christians because that's how we learn, that's how we grow, that's how we understand how God is moving and operating through us, and we can become part of what he's doing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the example that we see in the life of Moses and Zipporah, that even Moses didn't get it right all the time. Sometimes I think we forget that and we get so intimidated, but God, help us to realize that that's why we need Jesus. That's why you had to send him, because you knew we were going to mess up. God, I'm so thankful for the way that you reveal yourself in your word, that you are a God that uses imperfect people, but that we still need to repent and to make things right. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us understand when we've messed up, and to convict us so that we know that we need to come before you. And God, I pray for the empowerment to not sin in the first place, but also the grace to remember that when we do, you have a plan, a backup plan, a rescue plan to restore us to right relationship with you. I thank you and praise you in all things. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.